Lord, bless this holy scripture, that as we gather around it and hear its words to us, we might be challenged and transformed. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ah, to be as confident as this psalmist is that he is a righteous man. How many here in the congregation are convinced that you walk blamelessly in all those paths of righteousness? It seemed really appropriate a long time ago when we were looking at the lectionary passages for August to look at this lectionary psalm in the context of how we try to live into the very best that God calls from us as we come to the table of our Lord. And I still believe that. In order for us to enter into thinking about the meaning of communion and this holy mystery that is a gift of God for us, we who are of this Reformed Presbyterian tradition and yet come from so many different backgrounds and practices and understandings of this sacrament, there are most likely as many explanations and reflections on what communion means as there are in people, are there people in this room. And in some of us, there are many understandings of what communion is. As you heard, we are continuing a dialogue to understand that ever more deeply, and particularly as we communicate that Reformed tradition to our children and our youth. Indeed, the church throughout the ages has struggled to define exactly what happens in this great gift that we have been given by our Lord Jesus Christ. And whole denominations have split off around the meaning of the table. And so we come to this lectionary psalm on a communion Sunday. The people of the writers and the organizers of the lectionary didn't necessarily know that this would be a communion Sunday when they wrote this, but we come seeking insight as to what it can help us understand as we are disciples who come to this table, a table which has been prepared for each one of us and for us as a community seeking to follow God's will here in the community and even to the ends of the earth. How then may we reflect on this psalm, which one commentator has called a psalm of savage innocence? I like that. A psalm of savage innocence, as one commentator names it. Someone who so self-righteously understands themselves to be walking blamelessly through God, or to God and with God, that he is able to affirm these high, high qualities to which God calls us. We yearn to come to the table completely honestly, to be as righteous and as holy as we may think we are, and yet we can only do that through the power of Christ. Not by judging the other as to who they are, but by looking deep within ourselves to the places where we fall short of the glory of God. But we're faced here with this lectionary psalm, which is not a psalm of this kind of humility, which calls forth those places in humility for us, recognizing where we need God's healing and transforming power. The psalm we read today moves from a place of self-righteousness when, as Scripture puts it, we are too prone to think too highly of ourselves and not of the other. But this righteousness of God to which the psalmist speaks is not like our own narrow self-righteousness, and it is well beyond our human capacity to comprehend, except through the grace of God. What then can we take from this psalm as we are called to be as we come to the table? In what spirit are we to enter into this sacrament? Perhaps we can best claim the values that the psalm lifts up. Let's ignore for the moment that the psalmist thinks he embodies all those values. But let's look to the values that this psalm speaks to. Hear a just cause, O Lord, the psalm begins. As Martin Luther King Jr. once said, the arc of the universe, God's universe, bends towards justice. Our God is ultimately a God of justice, and God's justice will prevail, even when we cannot see it. We who seek to follow must seek to be humbly on that side of justice, of true justice. And there is nothing quite so equal as the communion table, a table where we are all invited to share in a feast, no matter where we come from places of slavery or freedom, new or long-standing belief, from struggle or joy. And we are all united by this table in this simple and yet very complex reality of God's table for God's people who seek to follow in discipleship. The psalmist says, give ear to prayer from lips free of deceit. We sometimes forget that God knows whether we speak in truth or in lies, and God hears those prayers of honesty and yearns for them from us. One of the most common calls to confession that you hear, I think in Presbyterian churches where I've spent most of my life, is, Lord, if we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It is so easy for us to see the sin in another, the log in another's eye, than to be caught up and see our own sin or unworthiness. Or we see so much of our unworthiness that we are paralyzed and cannot come to this table for the new life that it brings. Try my heart, the psalmist says, an echo of the faithful heard over and over again in other psalms, perhaps most famously in the beloved Psalm 139. O Lord, you search me and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Ultimately, we can never deceive God. God knows who we are as no one else does, with all strength and limitations, and God still loves and wills life for all of us. This is the message of Jesus Christ that we celebrate. The psalmist proclaims, I have avoided the ways of the violent. In light of our world situation in these days, that line leaped out at me in new ways as I was preparing for this sermon, reminding us that violence begets violence, as we see so painfully in day-to-day news, story by story. Note that here in this psalm, avoiding ways of violence is seen here as a part of righteousness, as the way of righteous people. It is good that this psalm moves from the beginning part that we read to the end part that we read as well, that we see in it the confidence of the one who knows and calls upon the Lord to bring an answer, to know that God inclines God's ear to God's people and hears our prayer, and the result is God's love shown. A loving sacrifice that we celebrate in this gift of the Lord's Supper, instituted by Jesus himself and commanded that we might share it together as the community that continues as his disciples. Not only to remember, but that is a part of it, but also to be reignited and empowered by his grace through the mysterious power of the Holy Spirit at work in binding a people together, so different on the surface from one another, together in a love and a peace which passes all human understanding. So then we come to this table to be called to our highest selves, out of a place of humility, knowing that all we have, all that we are, is a gift from God, God's only Son, and to bring that highest self, as the scriptures tell us, in 1 Corinthians, And as I told the children today, examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. John Calvin, the great reformer of our faith, calls the Lord's Supper a high ministry, the food to sustain and preserve us in that life into which he has begotten us by his word. We participate, he says, joyfully and often in the Lord's Supper because we always need Jesus Christ, the life-giving bread. God provides us with this sacrament, this gift, as in Calvin's word, visible signs best adapted to our small capacity. I like that. Visible signs best adapted to our small capacity. A visible expression of the deepest ministry we can know that God loves us so much that we have been saved through his very life itself, sacrificed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Our lives are transformed through this work of Christ, and we are never the same. And we are called to embody that faith that we have received in the great gift of Jesus Christ. Printed on that communion token, look at these precious, precious items, is a verse at the end of John's Gospel from chapter 21. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. We do that as earthen vessels, all too convinced of our humanity and our limitations, yet somehow through it all, God flows in and with us in our inmost being in a most mysterious way, sometimes leading us to mountaintops of great triumph for a greater good beyond ourselves, sometimes giving a sense of peace that passes all understanding in a human realm, empowering us to be the people of God that God wants us to be. Communion speaks to us. If we would but bring our full selves to the table, it is a mystery of the faith, beyond our understanding, illuminated and empowered by our Lord through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us give thanks to God for this indescribable gift. Amen.